Hello. Okay. All right, let's turn to, if you want to, Matthew 22, or you can read up here. Jesus talking about the great commandment. So let's read verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, when you get into Mark, we're going to read Mark. Mark's going to give you a little bit different version, but it's not different. But what's the first commandment? Hear ye, O Israel, your God is one. All right? And you can't love one if you think there's two or three. So he's saying here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, not the Lord's, or one of the Lord's. So he's saying one God. All right? So one God is the greatest commandment, is to know that he's one. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See how strong that is? All right. Then they continue to ask him another question about what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? But now let's go to Mark 12. Mark 12 and 28. We're going to get another view. You version or you? I'll show you in a minute. Mark 12. Now here's pretty much the same thing. Same situation. Now here's Mark writing, and Jesus answered them, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we've come up to brotherly kindness, and I looked up the word commandment. The word commandment means order, a charge, a precept, or a prescribed rule that one must go by. All right, so Jesus is telling them, not taking the other eight commandments away, because you got the one, there's one with prompt, the first one with promise, which is what? Honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the face of the earth. That's the first commandment with promise, all right? But the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. And then the second one Jesus brings in, I don't think that's in the order. If you'll look in Exodus, you can. I don't think the second one is that one. The second one is another one, and then you go down a little further. But he brings all the commandments together and brings two of them. If you'll love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, you won't kill him, because it says, Thou shalt not kill. Right? Thou shalt not steal. You won't steal from your neighbor if you love him. You understand? So what Jesus is doing is he's taking all these commandments, and he's taking them and saying, Hey, if you'll get these two right the first time, you won't have to worry about the other eight. The other eight will come in under those two. In the same way with brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness in the pyramid is right up there at the top. But it's a culmination of all the faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness that we've been talking about. It all culminates in that brotherly kindness, because you can't have brotherly kindness and not have temperance. Some part of temperance you got to have. Definitely patience, to have patience with your brother. Brother Brown's what he said, have patience with your brother. All right? If he don't see the same thing you see. All right, let's go to 2 John, or John 2. 2 John. 2 John 1, verse 4. Now here's John. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, so who's he talking to? Not a woman sitting there, he's talking to the church. And I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What? He narrows it down to one. That we love one another. Now, watch what Brother Branham says, though. Brother Branham says, you take godly love, which is agape love, which is unconditional. And I heard a little, I saw a little thing the other day, and I think it's kind of cute, and it's a joke, but it's really not a joke. But this man gets to the pearly gates, and I don't know why they got Peter at the pearly gates. I don't know why they got somebody standing at the pearly gates, but anyway, all the stories come up with Peter standing at the pearly gates. I guess Peter's a pretty rough character, so they got him standing there weeding them out, I guess. He's got the keys to the kingdom. That's good. All right? So he's got the key to the gate. So he walks in. So this guy walks up, and St. Peter says, oh, wait a minute, we've changed things. We're on a point system now. You got to have 200 points before you can enter heaven. And it's got to be what you've done on earth. And the guy said, well, the greatest thing I know I've done, I'm married 50 years, never committed adultery, never done anything against my wife. We had a wonderful marriage. And St. Peter said, well, that's good. That's worth 2 points. The guy said, 2 points? So he says, well, what else did you do? He said, well, I, you know, built a building for the homeless or something. You know, he said, well, that's good for 1 point. And he went through a bunch of things. He didn't have about 5 points built up, and everything he'd done in his life, you know. He said, well, how am I going to make it? He said, only by the grace of God can I make it. And Peter said, there's your 200 points. There's your 200 points. Enter in. He finally got him down to where it was by the grace of God he made it in, not by what he'd done down here. So that's the same thing here. But still, they're connected. They're still connected. You still got to love. You still got to do the commandments of God. Because that guy was on do's and don'ts. He was on, I didn't do this, I did do this, I did this. But the grace of God, listen, it's only by the grace of God, my point is that we can love each other. It's only by the grace of God that we can love somebody that actually hates you. I mean, actually hates. It's easy for somebody to love you that loves you. But for somebody that just absolutely grates your cheese, you know, I mean, that little baby had a jubilee yesterday. She finally got out among some brethren and sisters, and she was shouting and praising the Lord and laughing and jumping up and down. She was having a good time. So it was good to have her at the fellowship meeting. But look at 2 John. And this is love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And that's to love one another. For many deceivers are entering into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So it's culminated in a reward. And we do get a reward. And I was thinking the other day, and I think I'm going to maybe do a message on it or something. Maybe not down here, but upstairs. Abraham, remember he started as Abram, right? He started as Abram. There was things went on with Abram that were right. Remember, he walked with God. He done the things, even as Abram. But when he become Abraham, other things came into view. It wasn't Abram anymore, it was Abraham, and there was more things. What I'm saying is we got a lot of Abrams that can produce something, but it's a wild child. It produced a promise, but it wasn't the promise God was talking about. So we got a lot of Abrams, and even when you're born again, I believe you're an Abram. You get up, you walk with God. Hey, Abram's journey was justification, sanctification, into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? That was Abram. That was Abram. It wasn't Abraham. It was Abram. And he produced a child during that time. He produced a lot of things. He even met Melchizedek. When he was Abram, he met Melchizedek. So you got to do the same thing. And that journey of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been preached and preached. But I want to take it more as a level of us already in the message. There's a lot of Abrams that's just going to produce a wild child. But you know what? He's going to walk with God. Because Abram walked with God. Watch. Read your Bible. Abram walked with God. Abram was not some wild, you know, camel chaser or whatever they did back then. He wasn't that. Even in his justification, he walked with God. So remember how we teach it here. You go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost in a baby form. And then when you get in the pyramid, what we're talking about now is right back to justification again. Right? Then you're going to realize when we get to the capstone, there's another justification that that person really didn't do it. That's where you got to realize that you didn't do it in the first place. You're justified. Justified means you didn't do it. Well, now, when you get born again, you know you did it because it's real fresh on your mind. Then when you go through the statue of a perfect man, it begins to weed out those things that you did and that you're still doing. Remember the sister's dream? The trash was coming out. The water was going in. And then Brother Brown talks about honey lining the box. Okay? So we got a journey inside of a journey. We do. We have a journey inside of a journey. Our journey as a Christian, even as a nominal Christian, there's a journey. And it's like Brother John LaFontaine was preaching yesterday, which is wonderful. Brother Brown said there'll be a lot of people. And I just read the quote not too long ago. There'll be a lot of people in the tribulation because you didn't present the gospel to them. Your fault. That's what he said. Yeah, I just read it. It's a quote. I just read it the other day. It's a direct quote. He read it out of Revelation chapter 3 because that's what I was reading the other day. And he said, because of you and me, he said, you and me, he said, many will go through the tribulation because we didn't present the gospel to them. You know what that means to me? If we'd have presented it to them, they would have accepted it. So how many times do we pass by our neighbor because we don't like our neighbor? And I ain't talking about the guy that lives right beside of you. Okay, I'm talking about your community. Even here, or even another church, or witnessing to people. But remember, because our life speaks louder than our words anytime. Okay, so you have to look and see that there's a journey inside of a journey, though. Once you come into the message of the hour, there's a journey. There's a journey of a Christian. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But remember, let me just give you a little key. Abram's journey, listen to me, Abram's journey was from 47 to 63. Think about that a little bit. Abram's journey was from 47 to 63. Brother Brown's message from 47 to 1963. That was Abram's message. It produced Pentecostal. It produced a wild child. Speaking in tongues, shouting. It brought justification and sanctification back in order. Remember, that was a restoration. Everybody got that? You got it? Then Abraham's journey. Abraham's journey was for one thing and one thing only, and that's what I'm going to speak on. We have a mandate from God, a commandment, to be Abraham, because Abraham is the only one that got a body change. Abram's body wasn't changed. Abraham's body was changed. Abraham had to meet Melchizedek in a different way than he met him in his journey of a Christian life. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't, then I'll give you an hour or so sermon about it. Yes. So 63 is when Melchizedek, the Son of Man, that was God in human flesh, that's when he came on Sunset Mountain, I believe, opened the seals to the prophet. Well, there was Abraham. That was the start of Abraham's journey. Everybody get to, you understand what I'm saying? So we don't take Abram and Abraham as being from denominational world up. We got to come and bring it to us. That message from 47 to 63 did not produce a rapture. It just, and I don't mean just as in being belittling it, but it brought us back to a place to where we could become Abraham. Abram's journey brought him to where he could become Abraham. Everybody got that? If Abram wasn't right, even in his folly and all the things he did wrong, if he wasn't right, he would have never met Melchizedek on that road. Right? Abram said, "My Lord," one God. There's your first commandment. Now what's the next thing? I'm going to preach a sermon here. What's the next thing Abraham said to Melchizedek? "Can you find 10 of my brothers righteous?" Well, he started with 50. Right? So he thought about his brethren. There's your two commandments. Well, hallelujah. Y'all can sleep or not show up when Daddy asks me to preach, because that's what probably I'll preach on. But Abraham, first thing he was worried about was his neighbor. He said, "God, can you find..." And God said, "Hey, if I can find 50 righteous, I'll save all of Sodom." Abraham, he finally said, "Man, I don't know if we can get 50. He said, "Well, how about 10? He said, "If I can find 10, I'll spare it." But remember, he couldn't. But what was Abraham in that part of his journey when he met Melchizedek and he was solidified knowing that Sarah was going to be one that produced a child and that he was going to have that child now? First thing he thought about was his brothers. Lot wasn't his brother, but he was his cousin or whatever, nephew. That was his neighbor. That was his fellow brother. That's what I was thinking about last night when Brother John was preaching on on Lot. Because remember, Lot was righteous. The Bible said that the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. Now, if the Bible's wrong, the Bible's wrong. It's not. Brother Bram said he was a type of what? The denominational believer that lived close to the world. Right? But what's the first thing when Abraham, I was thinking about that last night, what's the first thing when Abraham and Melchizedek was together and everything comes together and Melchizedek says, "Your commission is to have the child." And you know what? Abraham, I believe he said, "Well, God, you're going to have to change me back." Now, he may not have said that verbally, but in his mind, he thought, "I can't produce it like I am. So God's going to have to do something." God had to come in 63 and break the seals to the prophet, to break the redemption of the body, to give us a body change. But the first thing, when Abraham became who he was, he said, "Oh, that you could save my neighbor." There's your first two commandments. Right there. Because remember, and I'll read you a quote when we do this. Brother Brown said, "Every son of the faith in the end will have to go through the same journey as Abraham." At the final end, this is us. Every son of the faith has to go through the final journey just like Abraham went through. So Abraham is definitely a type of our justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in the to be born again, right? But remember, you... That's where it started. It started with... Yes. Well, it started with faith to get born again. And that same faith is going to change your body. It's not a different faith. It's just more of the same faith. All right? Because what Melchizedek did when Brother Brown brought those seals, it brought an ability for us to take a body change. There was no way we could do it until 63. Even Brother Branham thought he had preached everything. Remember, in the spoken words written with seed, he said, "Billy Graham sowed a seed, or Robert sowed a seed, and I've sowed a seed." Where's the crop of it, in other words? I'm paraphrasing. Where's the crop of it? Holy Spirit said, "Pick up your pen and write." Brother Brown thought Malachi 4 had already been fulfilled. But the Holy Spirit told him, said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. In other words, you thought you might have preached the seals back in the 50s, which you did in one service, remember? But now you've got a commission. You've got a mandate because I've got a group of people that's going to bring that promised son. That's why there in Psalms, it's real fitting that we read that about bringing the Son of Man on the scene, because that's the Word made flesh. That's not a spirit. Come on, people. We're not dealing with it. We had the Son of God, the Spirit, down through the church ages. We're out of the church ages. So the Son of Man's got to be the Word and flesh in us. It was the Word and flesh in Martin and Luther and all those people, but it wasn't the fullness. They didn't know how to get virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. It took a prophet to bring that together, to build. Remember what Zerubbabel did Because Zerubbabel is a type of Brother Branham. Zerubbabel, what did he do? He swept off the foundation and built the building. Now, that's what Brother Branham had to do. He had to sweep off, tie up the loose ends to build this great building, the statue of a perfect man. All right? So it's all through the Bible. The people that don't get it, I guess they just like Brother John said, they just ain't going to get it. But if you'll see these two commandments, they do sum up everything. Because if you get one God right, you got the Bible right. You've got your new birth right. You've got where you can talk about God being your father and not having a father and then a son and a Holy Ghost somewhere else. You know, you've come to the knowledge that there's nobody between you. Sure, there's a man, Christ Jesus, but he's God. He's the Father, made manifest in the form of a son. And then you've got the second commandment, which we all got to come to. Now, Abraham knew what was going on in Sodom. They were Sodomites. You know what Sodomites do, and they are. That's pretty vile. But and men and men, women and women, it's where all that came from. It's where that devil came from. And Lot sitting down there in the middle of it, and the two angels went down, and they even tried to get the two angels out and mess with them. So that's pretty vile. But for Abraham to, once he realized that the promise had come to him, see, Abram's journey brought him up to a certain place. And now he had a revelation that he's Abraham, a father of many nations. So there's Isaac is going to come. So the first thing he does, he says, my Lord. He knows there's one God. Then he looks down in Sodom and says, well, how about my neighbor? Can you save my neighbor? See, that's what we should do. That's the brotherly love, brotherly kindness that we should be talking about. Now let's go to Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. See, I brought them all together. Now, we know that a lot of this is talking about Israel, but remember, in type, it's us. Right? In type, it's us. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments. So that's us. We must keep the Ten Commandments. Amen? We're the only people that can keep the Ten Commandments. But if you'll not try to keep them in a list, you'll do a lot better. Just take the first two that Jesus talked about. You know, Jesus didn't run through all the commandments. Not at one time. He'd pick one or two here or there, but he said the greatest of the commandments are these two. So if Jesus said the greatest of the commandments are these two, then that's the two that we got to overcome by. Believe in one God and love your neighbor as you love yourself and love each other. Okay? So let's go to Revelation 22, 14. I like this program, but the only thing I don't like about it is you can't like cut and paste and put it in a sermon form. You have to do it by the folio views. I wish you could do it with this, but if you do, I don't know how to do it. So, but I like it because it's real quick. You can get to where you're going. And you do have little things over there that you can play with, but I haven't played with them yet. It's just good to read scripture with. And it's got a lot of different versions. Let's see. It's got American Standard Version. It's got Good News Translation, the Book of the Bible, New Testament, New International Reader's Version. It's got a bunch. It's like 40 different versions that you can read if you want to. I like King James, but you can read other versions to get what it says. But Revelation 22:14, watch what it says. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments, his statutes, his order, his charge, his precept, his prescribed rule. Now remember, it's not do's and don'ts. It's not do's and don'ts. Just like I told you about the man that goes to heaven. It's not the paving of the parking lot or giving the pastor something or giving me something or giving you each other something. That to me should be number one without strings attached. If you're going to give somebody something, give it to them. It don't matter what they give you back. Isn't that what the Bible says? It don't matter. It don't matter what the person is. You know, well, I got a Christmas gift, but you didn't give him one. You didn't give me. You give me one, but you didn't give him one, or you didn't give you one to give me one. Well, I ain't give you one. I ain't going to give you one. I told her I'd give her the same thing I got her last year. And I may even leave it the same color. But it must be, because remember, agape love is unconditional love. Filial love, whatever you want to say about it, it is conditional. One more time. Filial love is conditional. All right? Huh? If your husband does something good, you love him a little more. If he does bad, you don't talk to him for 3 or 4 days. That's conditional. Now, that's not Jesus. Actually, Jesus will talk to you when you're mad at him, you know, right? So remember, Brother Brown explained it so well. He said, here's agape love, which we really can't understand. Because remember, it's a peace that passes all understanding. So it's something we can't understand. But remember, if you get up that statue of a perfect man, you're going to understand it better than you did when you was a baby. Amen? So you come to brotherly kindness, you're getting, Brother Brown said, remember, says you're now getting close to the kingdom. Why? The kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. Not just the new birth that you received. Does everybody understand that? Because we're going to talk about that where it says Holy Spirit right there, okay? That's not where you receive the new birth. That don't say new birth. That says Holy Spirit. You receive the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, down there at faith. All right? But up there at the top, that was that honey that sealed everything in. At the top, you got to be sealed in. And Satan sealed out. Because when you're going through your journey, honest to goodness, Satan lives with you a lot more than God does. Yes, because without faith, yes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without having a new birth. You got to have the Holy Ghost. So, yeah, that faith, but remember, too, you got to jump on up there into without that Holy Spirit, without that faith, it's impossible to please God in His fullness. In His fullness. You please God. Remember, He said, I am pleased to dwell in you right here at faith. Just like he did Jesus on the River Jordan. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell, not hear ye him. But now when he comes to Mount Transfiguration, he says, hear ye him. Brother Branham was an adopted son of God. He had the mind of Christ. Amen? More than anybody besides Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. So he was an adopted son of God. Then God said, hear ye him. In 1963, that's what happened. When that sword came in his hand, when he met God out there, met those angels, I don't care what they got to say about it, that was very important. And it happened. But he had a sword in the hand, and he said, that is the sword of the king. That's the word. All right? So what he had to do, he had to meet God in his fullness to bring us to a rapture. Because we can't get in rapturing condition as Abram. We mess up. We produce a wild child. We did produce a child, but it was a wild child. You and I, we're wild. We're the wild. Remember, we were grafted in. We were the wild olive tree, right? That's the Gentiles. We were grafted in as the wild olive tree. So we've always been the wild child. But God saw so much in us till he knew if he could get inside our soul, he knew if he could meet Abram one more time, he'd change him. Because his change started when he called him Abraham. That's when his change started. When God gave you the new birth, he started your change. But now remember, he didn't say, hear ye him, until later on. Because remember, as Abram could not have taken his child on the mountain and done what he did. I'm telling you. He couldn't do it. But as Abraham, he walks up and prophesies, hear ye him. Because Abraham said, the boy and I will go, and the boy and I will return. Now he was standing. So God said, "Hey, I heard my son, and whatever he says, that's what's going to happen." See, that's why you turn fear to faith. In Abram, there was a lot of fear. Remember, God put him to sleep. He feared his death. He feared hell. He feared these things. When you come up to Abraham, let me tell you something. When you meet God, Brother Ram said, we got to meet him. When you meet God, which is God in human flesh, which is us, pastor, preacher, evangelist, all the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, once you meet that, it changes you. And your faith builds more because Abraham did a lot of things that Abram couldn't do. But yet he was still the same person, human being-wise. He was still the same person. Because remember, he could produce a child as Abram, but he couldn't produce the child until he was changed to Abraham. But remember, Sarah had to have something to do with it. See, he was trying to do it through Hagar and whatever more. But when God comes down and says, you and Sarah, not Sarai, Sarah, you not Abram anymore, you Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have the promised child. Well, what did Abraham have to do? He just produced what God already said. That's all he done. He just didn't understand it back when he told him, said, get up and walk with me, you're going to be a father of many nations. We didn't understand the word like we understand it now. Right? So we get to a journey to where our fear has become our faith. Okay? That, like Ryan and me, we saw going down the road the other day, he saw the same sign I did on a church. It says, turn your fear into faith. Well, I'm getting a little sermon on that too, because that's exactly what happened when Ryan and them left here that night in the Bible study. When they got here, they were afraid. And I said, Ryan, that fear you're going to carry into that room to that baby, and that baby's going to feel it. I said, I didn't say turn that fear to faith. I said, you have faith. When you walk in that room, I don't care how many tubes they got in the baby. I don't care if they tell you the baby's 5 minutes from dying. You walk in there and you have faith for that child. And Ryan, has she not got better sense? That was the turning point. He told me yesterday, now he may not have told all y'all, but they were expecting that child to die. See there? So from fear come faith, and it changed the situation. So that's what we got to do. So you know what? From fear that we can't get this body changed to faith that we can change it, it's no more than just what he did. He walked in that room and changed the situation by believing here, and then it went to here. You can have mental faith and nothing happened, but when that goes from here to here, walked in that room and that baby got better ever since. God only works by your confession. All right, let's go. Bless you, buddy.